man has ever gone before, as Captain Kirk used to say. And we're joined by Ireland's own Captain Kirk, if he doesn't remind me referring to him in that manner, Astronomy Ireland's David Moore. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
You're very, very welcome. David, are we going where no man has ever gone before? Because we apparently have a brand new galaxy or whatever astronomers have spotted what would be the most distant astronomical object ever seen, a galaxy named HDI. The galaxy candidate apparently is 13.5 billion light years away. And scientists are speculating exactly what it is. 13.5 billion light years. I can't even get my head around that number, David. Can you?
No, the numbers in astronomy are often ridiculous, hence the term astronomical. And the reason for this is we are such a tiny part of the universe, yet the main claim to fame that the human race still has is that the human brain is the most complicated thing we know of in the universe. So we have that still going for us, even though we're on a bit of a rock called the Earth that's hurtling around the star at 66,000 miles an hour, which is one of nearly a trillion stars, which are all swirling around a giant black hole.
We're only one of a trillion planets swirling around our universe.
In fact, there's more than that.
My God.
In our galaxy alone, there are probably more planets than there are stars. So there's roughly a trillion planets.
What's the difference between a planet and a star?
Well, it's size. So if you imagine being at the centre of the Earth, the atoms that it's made of, they can withstand all the thousands of miles of rock and metal crushing down them from above. But if you make the Earth bigger and bigger, it turns out that you can't actually withstand that pressure, and the atoms themselves get crushed together. And that makes lots of energy. That's what's happening in the Sun, which is a million Earths squashed together. And they're stars. So if you made the Earth a planet bigger and bigger, eventually it would turn into a star. So it's really just a question of size. And then the stars, of course, therefore shine brightly. Planets are cold and dark without a star to light them up.
Well, we're told about this HD1, that it contains what's known as a supermassive black hole, about 100 million times the mass of the Sun. And that, in effect, it might be the first ever one of its kind. This is quite an incredible discovery. It has a red colour and is 13.5 billion light years away, as I said earlier. How long would it take us to get there, David?
Well, with current technology, too long is the answer. Even light itself takes 13.5 billion years to get there. We're not going to last that long. So it's on the far side of the universe, the very edge of the observable universe. The Big Bang that created the universe was about 13.8 billion years ago. So we're only 0.3 of a billion years after the Big Bang. So we think that this galaxy is made from the very first stars that existed in the universe. And the universe was very different to the way it is today. It was much more compact. The stars were all very huge, big stars. And they would have been exploding away all the time, making the bigger elements that make up our body.
What is the universe, by the way?
The universe is everything that we can see and know of. Simple as that.
But what we can see and what we know of is like a pinhead, isn't that right?
Well, there's a thing called the observable universe. That would be as far as we can see. 13.5 is currently as far as we've been able to see with this new galaxy, billions of light years away. And there could be, the universe could go on forever beyond that, and we won't ever see it. So we don't know how big it truly is. It could actually be that we're just seeing all the universe that there is, and that's all there is. Or it could be that it's infinitely large. We just don't know. And that's one of the bits of fun. But it would seem unusual that if the universe is more or less the same as we look further and further away, and it doesn't just continue forever, or at least for a very long way beyond what we could ever see.
But we would never, unless we get suspended animation, we will never reach parts of the universe. I think, our unless we're like Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, that we can energize, beam me up, Scotty kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you know, we're pretty sure we know most of the laws of physics and nature at the moment, and there's nothing in there that's going to really get us from one side of the universe to the other, except for some crazy mathematics in Einstein's theory of relativity, which, by the way, we have a lecture about on Monday night.
I'm going to talk about that in a minute, yes.
And that says that mathematically, it could be possible create things called wormholes, where you can go into one of these here on the Earth and appear instantaneously on the other side of the universe.
Oh, I like that, actually.
Yeah, and this is sort of the concept things like warp drive and the like are based on. So the science fiction writer would have known about this scientific oddity. But at the moment, it's only a mathematical entity, and it needs crazy stuff called negative matter, which we've never seen. In fact, we really think...
All right, so we all need to get into wormhole. Given the price of heating oil at the moment, that's a very attractive prospect. Let me ask you one question before I get a word from you on your lecture on Monday night. Is there anybody out there? Are we alone?
Yeah, it's a good question. In fact, we're doing a three 1-hour documentary on RTE going out next month. So if anyone wants to follow us on social media when it's aired, we've explained this in more detail. And I'm one of the contributors. And the scientists around the world have been interviewed about this. And what they say, the people who work in this area, serious now, not the people who think they've seen aliens, but the people who wonder how did life get started and should it be out there. Some of them, like Professor Frank Drake of the famous Drake Equation, he has said that they will find evidence for intelligent life in our lifetimes. So we've been holding the front page of Astronomy Island magazine, and indeed I'm sure every newspaper on the planet will, for that announcement when it says, we have now detected ET. Yeah.
Do you believe in aliens?
Sort of. I'd be very, very surprised if there isn't primitive life on other planets in other galaxies.
But can I say to you, actually, that I would be even... Can I say to you, David, I'd be even more surprised if there aren't, and I think it would be very arrogant of human beings to think that we are the only intelligent form of life on the planet. In fact, I believe, I would be of a view that there are probably multiple, and I'll use the word civilizations, are higher forms of intelligence out there than we are. And we might be only in the halfway place, David Moore.
It's possible. And you see, nobody really knows, because we've only got this sample of one, the Earth, with its life on it. And we don't know yet life anywhere else. That's probably just because it's early days. So if you get a chance to listen to the 3 1-hour documentaries, you'll hear the people researching this for a living and what they think. And the only problem, I'm with you, I think it would be like Star Trek. There are lots of different intelligent civilizations scattered across the galaxy and indeed the universe. But there's also a group of people, scientists, who think that something unique happened on the Earth that led to the advancement of intelligent life. Basically, how individual cells became multicellular organisms. Yeah. We need that to get to dinosaurs, to get to mammals, to get to humans. And some people think that the chance of that having happened this early in the universe's life is just a fluke. It's like winning the lottery 2 or 3 times in a row.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree. Given that this planet, the new galaxy, is 13.5 billion light years away, and we are only a pinprick in the overall existence of the universe and all the other universes or whatever else we can see, or galaxies that we can see across the entire universe, I think it's fascinating altogether stuff. Before I let you go, you have a lecture on Monday night on gravitational wave astronomy. In 2 words, David Moore, what is that?
Einstein's theory are my 2 words. Basically, Einstein, his own theory of relativity, said what gravity is. It's a curvature of space and time. And so when giant things collide, like black holes, on the far side of the universe, we can pick up the ripples in space and time here on the Earth now, billions of years later. They won the Nobel Prize for this. It's a bit of a complicated subject, but Andy Briggs from Spain is brilliant at explaining this to kids and families alike. So we've asked them to give a family-friendly explanation of Einstein and these gravitational waves, why they're so important. Monday night, 7 o'clock. Details are on our website, astronomy.ie.
And it's over Zoom, I can tell you, folks.
Yeah,
8 o'clock on Monday night. It's on Zoom.
On Monday night, 8 o'clock tonight.
Right, 8 o'clock, and it's on Zoom, so everybody can join in. It's only a fiver, and you can have a great lecture. Go to the website astronomy.ie. Meanwhile, look out your windows late tonight, and the blue light you see in the distance might not be your mobile phone floating away. It could be that we have last seen real visitors from another time in space. And I'm sure I agree with David. I think there'll come a time when we mightn't find Captain Kirk and Dr. Spock or Mr. Spock so funny at all. We are only a very small item in terms of our existence, I think. Anyway, the new planet, the galaxy, is called HD1. It's the most distant astronomical object ever seen, a new galaxy. David Moore of Astronomy Ireland, great talking to you.
My pleasure.
As ever, always entertaining and informative. Next up, sport.
Your next midweek getaway at Killeshie Hotel.